Welcome to Behind the Smiles with your host, the Queen of Yappy herself, Dr. Gina Dorfman. This is a podcast where we interview some of the biggest leaders in dentistry, learn their stories, and share their motivation. Brought to you by Yappy, an automated paperless software for dentists and their teams. Book a demo today at yappyapp.com.
Hello, and welcome back to another episode of Behind the Smiles. I'm here today with a very special guest, someone that I know from way back, Christine Hammond. Christine, welcome to the show. How are you today?
I'm good. Thank you so much for having me.
I'm really excited. So very quickly, Christine used to work as a scheduling coordinator in my dental practice for many, many years. How many years?
Seven and a half years.
And she was absolutely incredible. She got all of the hard patients. All of the difficult patients went to Christine because she was just really, really good at managing and helping those patients. And then she met someone and they decided to move to Seattle. And I just couldn't let her go. So we decided to bring her as a team member here at Yappy. And it's been a couple of years now, right?
Yeah, actually 2 years on the first of this month. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
It's been two years now. Time flies.
Time flies. So happy anniversary. And Christine just got married. So
yes.
So congratulations.
Thank you very much.
I have so many questions for you, but before we get started, I would love for you to share your sort of journey into dentistry with our listeners.
Yeah, of course. So before I worked in your practice, I actually worked at a dental laboratory for about 2 to 3 years. So basically I spoke with offices and I would receive incoming cases for, dentures, partials. So I got really familiar with that, side of things. And then I decided, you know, I wonder what it would be like to work in an office. I'm really interested in dentistry. And I got a phone call from you after applying and, had an interview and started working in your practice for 7.5 years. And really enjoyed it. I mean, I learned so much working there. And I mean, obviously, I was there for a very long time, so I was happy. I felt like, you know, you were all family to me. And then, yes, decided to move. I met my now husband, and we moved to Washington. And I was fortunate enough that I was offered a position at Yappy and able to still, you know, work with you. I always tell that story. So that's kind of a little bit of my background as far as dentistry goes. Now I went from working with patients and the front office to now I get to help offices after using Yappy for so many years too. So that's a really different experience, but I definitely enjoy it. I can relate to these offices, and I'm more than happy to show them, you know, tools that we used in your office or resources too.
I love that. You are a real power user, right? Because you've used it to the fullest for so many years in the practice, and now you're working with these practices. And I get so much incredible feedback, you know, from offices, and even, you know, Jenny, one of our team members, always, every time she sees me, she says, thank you for Christine. And I absolutely love that.
She's amazing too. She's helped me out with a lot. She's really good.
Yes, she is. Absolutely. Yeah. We have a very, very good group of people. And I love that. We've always had a great group at the dental office. And we have a good group of people at Yappy, and everyone, you know, I don't know if you remember that, but I used to have this mantra in my dental office that we are the happiest place on earth. And I know that patients feel it, and patients, like when we read the online reviews that we get from patients, they never really talk about dentistry. They talk about people and how clean the office is and how nice everyone is and how organized. And it's always like, that's I own this.
Yeah, no, that's one of the first things that I noticed. I mean, when I started working at your office, I, you know, was just amazed. I was amazed at how well the office was kept, like super clean, you know, a juice bar for patients, and everyone was so happy and always smiling. I remember we gave new patient welcome gifts, and I remember, you know, when I was shown, okay, we give these gifts to our new patients. I'm like, wow, they get gifts? Like, I never had this kind of treatment at a dental office. I can't believe this. This is like the best place ever. So yeah, definitely the happiest place. And you can tell, you know, when you walk in, everyone, even the staff, everyone's happy to be there.
Thank you. So, you know, this is actually interesting. We did a patient perspective podcast interview with Ian before, and I'm interested to sort of find out about your perspective on this and how your sort of view of what happens in the dental office changed over the years, because initially, obviously, you've been going to the dentist way before you started even working in a laboratory, so you had some personal experience with dentistry, and then you started working with dentists, and then you came and you worked in my practice, and now you have a new dentist in Seattle, right?
Yes.
And so I'm curious, like, how is your perspective of what happens or perception of what happens in a dental practice changed from, you know, just being a patient to now being a patient, having had all that experience in a dental practice?
It's definitely changed my perspective a lot. I notice a lot of little things now when I go to a dental office, you know, and I don't know if I'm specifically looking for them, but, you know, I walk in and I kind of am expecting the same treatment that we give or that your office gives patients, you know, or that I used to give patients where, you know, I stop everything I'm doing and I make eye contact and I smile and, you know, you usually would try and greet them by name. I would always look at the schedule ahead of time. And then after some time, you just get to know the patient, so you know who's walking in the door. So I always look for that. For example, I've actually been to two offices since I moved here, because we lived in downtown, and now we kind of live in a suburb area. So the first office I went to, I remember walking in, and nobody was at the front office. There was nobody there. And I just kind of stood there and I started looking around and checking to see if their, you know, waiting room was, you know, nice and clean. Or I started looking at the magazines. I'm like, well, I remember we always used to make sure our magazines were up to date, and are these old? Or, you know, it took a little while for the front office to get there. And another thing that I had noticed is like personal conversation going on in the hallway. And I'm waiting and I'm like, oh, you should never do that. You should not be having, I shouldn't know what you did last night. And, you know, then they finally come up to the front, and it took them a minute to even look at me, and they had to ask me my name. So little things like that I notice. And then once they take me back, I kind of, I'm looking around the operatory. I'm like, is it clean? Is it organized? Do they have a screen I can see? We always had screens that patients could see. So little things like that I notice. Also, another big thing is, you know, do the staff here seem like they like their job? Like, do they seem happy? Because if, you know, staff is happy, then you're going to feel comfortable. Like, oh, they like working here, you know. This must be a good place. So little stuff like that, I notice. I don't know if it's little stuff. I guess it must be big stuff.
I think so. I think all those things that are important, because, you know, our patients don't know how good our dentistry is. A lot of times they assume if it doesn't hurt, it just, you know, it must be okay. But then, you know, and even working in the lab, I'm sure that you've had a whole bunch of cases that didn't work, didn't fit. And then, you know, you probably were the one having to call the dentist saying, oh, maybe you could do another impression. And the dentist would be like, nah, just make it work.
Yes, exactly. I dealt with that many times.
So, you know, for the patient, they're looking at those cues. How clean is the bathroom? You know, and I think you hit on something very, very important. If the staff is happy, if the people are smiling, you assume that you're in the right place. If they like working there, then, because I remember when I would present treatment to the patient, and every single time I walk out of the room, the patient would turn to my assistant and say, do I really need this, right? So they trust the team more than they trust the doctor. And if they see that the team likes being there, they trust the doctor, they automatically feel that they're in the right place and they can trust the doctor too. And I think that you have that awareness, but for a patient that might be a little bit more subconscious.
Yeah, exactly. My last appointment, I actually had a hygienist, and she was good. She reminded me of someone that should be working at your office. You know, the doctor came in, and he's really nice, but he's always pretty quick and to the point. You can tell he's pretty busy, or doesn't like small talk, because sometimes, you know, I just want to talk about, you know, like, how are you? Get to know you. So he's usually pretty quick. And then he jumped out of the room, and the hygienist turns to me and she goes, okay. She's like, so, explains everything to me, you know, basically after he walked out of the room, and she didn't know that I had worked at a dental office. So I already pretty much knew what he was telling me. But it was just nice that she, you know, took the initiative to explain to me, like, in terms I would understand, because patients don't always understand, you know, the dental terms that are spoken to them. So I did notice that right away.
Absolutely. That's very cool. So, you know, I mentioned something earlier when we just started. I mentioned that in my practice, you were the go-to person for all the difficult patients.
Yes, they loved me. I don't know why, but...
Well, I think the fact that you're a very nice person and you have a huge smile and you're warm and you're sincere, I think that had a lot to do with that. But you also had some pretty good skills talking to people. Can you share some tips on maybe managing, and I don't want to say necessarily difficult patients, because I feel that sometimes patients are difficult because they're nervous or they're scared, or, you know, they're probably not looking forward to their visit. And for that reason, they might not be on their best behavior. So I don't want to necessarily, label the patients difficult, but the conversations can be pretty difficult sometimes. Can you share some tips of what worked for you?
Yeah. So I always walked in there with a smile on my face, even though, you know, the assistant could have filled me in right before I walk into a consultation room that they're not happy and this is what's going on, or they didn't get much conversation out of them. So I would always walk in with a smile, like I had no idea of what, you know, just happened in their exam room, other than, you know, their treatment that I was filled in on. So I always walked in there with a good attitude. And sometimes it's just a matter of asking questions, you know, kind of starting out with, how are you? How did everything go? And sometimes people are just really closed off. And I learned working in your office not to take those things personal. I mean, in the beginning I did. I would get upset and not understand. But after some time, definitely don't take it personal, but just ask questions. And you know, go over their treatment. I think if you spend the time and you also listen to them, it's like stop and listen instead of trying to give them all the information, they'll eventually open up and tell you, well, I'm just really nervous, or, you know, I don't know how I'm going to afford to pay for this. And then once you figure out the problem, you can offer solutions, which was, you know, something that I would do, especially if they would express like, I can't afford this, or I'm nervous. I kind of knew how to approach it, like, okay, well, let's just look at this because this is the most important thing and we can always offer these options to you. And then they were a little bit more open to listening, and all of a sudden that wall came down and, you know, they were a lot nicer. So I think key is listening and trying to just ask questions. I mean, what's the worst that's going to happen? They're going to tell you no or get up and leave. I mean, there's not much you can do about that. But if you never ask the question, you're never going to know. So
that's a great point. I think dentists possibly are more guilty of that than the team. But a lot of times we talk at people, right? We're there, and sometimes the patient is maybe still saying something, but we're thinking about what we're going to say to them. And, you know, we look at the x-ray and we immediately know what we want to do for the patient. And so we can't wait to share that with the patient, but we're not necessarily in a position to give any recommendations to patients because we haven't heard them. We don't know what they want. We don't know what they're scared of. We don't know what they expect, what their previous experiences were. And so when we talk at them, we just give them information. Not only they're not receptive, but a lot of times it backfires. And then we put the patient in your consultation room and we expect you to undo the damage that we've done. And now you're the one who has to, you know, sort of break down that wall. Have there been patients, and I, you know, for some, I'm actually thinking of one specific patient right now. He's hard to forget. But in general, have there been patients that you felt were beyond our help?
As far as like dentistry or?
No, like as far as like they were not cooperative enough and they couldn't be treated civilly.
Absolutely. There definitely are patients out there that are just beyond helping, and they're not only, they don't only act that way in a dental office. Like that's who they are everywhere. So I definitely feel like there's some patients that are just beyond, I mean, you can only do so much and, give them options and opportunities. And if they still aren't happy, then you did what you could and sorry. I mean, you know, I think there definitely are patients that are beyond help.
Yeah. And I, you know, I feel like over the years I started to dismiss patients a little more quickly, a little more readily, just because I don't want my team to be affected by their negativity, or myself to be affected by their negativity. I actually had a patient during the pandemic. We had Dr. Lee and his assistant came to the office to see him for emergency. And I guess it was, you know, because the office was practically closed, we would go in just to see a couple of patients a couple of times a week. The computers were not working. And so they struggled for like 20 minutes to get the x-rays going, finally got it done. And you know, Dr. Lee is like the nicest person.
Absolutely.
And so he, you know, they were apologetic to the patient. Then patient wrote me a long email complaining that he had to wait for 20 minutes. And I'm like, you know what? I don't want to deal with this. I don't want my team to deal with this. This person does not appreciate the fact that they came out and, you know, took care of him. I just ended up dismissing this patient. And going back, I wish that I had dismissed more people over the years. I just think of some, you know, and some of it makes for fun stories. That we had the one that wanted you to see his bank account.
I do remember. He brought in a copy of his bank statement to show me in his little folder. I remember that.
I also remember he threatened to urinate on his desk.
Yeah. I think that's is that that's when he was dismissed, actually. I think that was the last straw for him.
That was the last straw for him. But that's just one of the examples that, some of those patients really should have been dismissed earlier. But you had a very good, what I appreciated about you is that you had a very calm and very good approach to really being able to tell who is a crazy person and who just needs a little help working through their concerns.
Yeah, I think there's a huge difference in that, because sometimes it's just a wall and they're quiet or they're closed off or they get very defensive. But once they kind of have the opportunity to talk to you and let that wall down and realize you're a human too and you're just trying to help them, those are the people that are worth helping. But then you have the people that definitely don't appreciate your time, and that's just the way they live their life. They treat everybody like that. So
that's true. And what I also notice is those people that do end up kind of dropping the curtain and they work with you, they actually end up being pretty good, like not even pretty good patients. They become your most loyal patients because they really feel the difference and how much you've helped them.
Yeah, absolutely. I felt like there were a few patients that had initially started as new patients, and by the time I left, they were still coming there. And, initially they were very nervous and hadn't been to the dentist in a long time. And then they were coming in every 4 months for their cleanings and finished all of their treatment. And that was super rewarding too. And especially if they were kind of difficult in the beginning, it was like, felt like an accomplishment. Like, oh, they finished all their treatment and they love coming to the dentist and they're probably never going to leave us, which is good. But that was the best feeling ever to have that. And there were pretty much all of your patients are like that. They love your office. I wish I could still come in for my cleanings.
it's a bit of a trip for you though.
Yeah.
So let me ask you a question. Let's get some tips from you. So one of the things that, and we were talking about patients, appreciative patients, obviously. So one of the problems that a lot of offices experiencing is not having enough online reviews, or they'll get a bad online review and it just completely ruins their day, their week. And so any strategies on reviews, any advice you can give to our listeners?
As far as reviews go, I mean, we used InstaReview in the office, and even the offices I talked to today that are interested in it, or maybe have some problems getting reviews, or they're worried about getting bad reviews. Because obviously it's better to have it on, an automated where your patients automatically get those reviews versus trying to remember to send them out. And I always tell them, I know what it's like to be in the front office and have a million things going on, and I'm either going to forget to send it to them right away, or I'll remember and it'll be like 3 hours later and I send it and it's not even worth it because it's no longer fresh in their mind and they're probably not going to leave that review. So I always tell offices that are worried about that, well, we don't want, a patient, like a difficult patient or a patient that didn't have a good visit, we don't want them to get the review. With Yappy, I mean, you still have control over who gets your reviews, because I'll always explain to them, I mean, I'm able to tell when I check a patient in, maybe they were upset about a balance or upset about something or just not having a good day, and they might be a regular patient. You have the option to remove the request from them getting a review, and everyone in the office should be trained on how to do that, especially if they're in the back and maybe they're not happy about something, the assistant can remove them from getting a request to leave a review too. So I always go over kind of those best practices and share my experience, but also the person that's checking them out too, or, should mention if, let's say, the patient that's checking out is raving about how great their hygienist was and it's the best cleaning they've ever had, to have their staff prompt them like, oh, that's so great. you know, would you mind leaving us a review? I'm going to send you a text message when you leave here. Would you mind leaving us a review on one of those sites so that you can help other patients find us? And I always tell them, you know, especially if the patient liked you and had a good experience and you're checking them out, they're going to feel a little accountable when they get that text message. So they're more likely to leave that review. So I always go over that with them as well. As far as bad reviews go, I feel like most of the people that leave bad reviews, you can tell if it was truly a bad experience when you're reading those reviews. I know that's not much advice, but whenever I look at offices and I go through reviews, I'll read it and know, okay, that person just isn't happy with anything probably in life. So it doesn't really make my decision on going to the practice. Now, if I see a trend of reviews for a place, then you know, okay, maybe I'm not going to go there. So that's a little, I'll go over the best practices as far as how they have control. I think Insta Review is a great feature that can really be a good tool to get more reviews. You just have to talk about it with your patients. I think people in general, you can't just expect them to do something. You have to talk about it and mention it to them. And I think that's one good way to get reviews.
Absolutely. I feel like you mentioned something very important. It's important to send out review requests, and it's important to have them automated, and it's important that everyone in the office knows how to prevent the review from going out if they notice that maybe the patient is not having the best time. But I think having this conversation with patients is very important, especially when because they don't automatically think about leaving reviews. I've been reading a statistic that maybe like less than 1% of people are actually going to think about leaving a review. And one of the things I'm actually thinking right now is like, right now with this pandemic going on, we all want to help out our local businesses, and leaving reviews for those businesses is the best way we can help those businesses. So I've been really conscious of trying to write reviews for the businesses that I've been to, for restaurants that I've been to. But most people don't instinctively think, I'm going to review. And even if they get a review request, sometimes they get busy. But when you ask them, especially at the right moment, when they compliment your practice, your hygienist, I think it's really well received. And I think it increases the compliance with those requests a lot.
No, absolutely. I agree 100%. And not only the front office, but even if they're telling the hygienist, like, you're the best hygienist. I mean, you should train your staff for the hygienist to turn around and be like, oh, thank you so much. You know, would you mind leaving me a review? It doesn't hurt to ask, and they're going to be more likely. I know if someone asked me to leave a review and I had a great experience, that would be the first thing I would do as soon as I got that request. So,
great point. And I think when patients are checking out and you ask them, like, if they don't, you know, if they're not raving, and you ask them, how was your visit? A lot of times you can potentially catch someone who is not happy or didn't have a great visit. And then you can hopefully even resolve their problem before they leave.
Absolutely.
And a lot of times those patients that had an issue and then that issue got resolved, a lot of times, they'll be even more appreciative and more likely to leave you a great review.
Yeah, I agree with that. Also, asking them how their visit went too exactly opens up the door. If there was an issue, then you can make it right and they'll be a long-term patient versus nothing being said at checkout. They leave unhappy and then they never come back again. So
that's right. In your experience, do you feel that people, if we don't ask them, do you feel like they're going to readily communicate something? Like if something happened in the back office and they come out, especially when patients that know you, do you feel like they're going to communicate, or do you feel like most of them would just leave without saying anything?
If they have a relationship there, I think that they'll bring it up. I've had that actually happen, you know, where they'll ask to pull me aside and then tell me, you know, whatever issue they had. But if I don't have a relationship with them, if they're a new patient, or maybe if they don't know me very well, they're just going to leave and they're not going to say anything at all. And I mean, I feel really bad thinking about that actually, because maybe it was something, you know, that we could prevent in the future or fix and make it right. Because a lot of, you know, it's a dentistry is a personal thing and people get emotional and they don't always want to tell you if there was a problem.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. I feel like they might be embarrassed to say something, or they think you wouldn't understand or you wouldn't care. A lot of times people sort of misconstrue what really happened. And, you know, they don't, because they have no dental experience. And, you know, I mean, it doesn't matter how good you are. Everyone is going to have patients who didn't have a good experience for one reason or another. It could be them. It could be you. I mean, sometimes you just have a really, really, really busy day. Like yesterday, I thought my team was trying to get rid of me. I looked at the schedule and it looked busy and I'm like, okay, I'm going to make it work. But at the end, I was like, okay, I don't think they like me. So I felt like I was constantly, like the whole day I was like sort of trying to catch up. And, you know, luckily right now I feel like patients are really appreciative. And they're actually happy to be here because they've been home for such a long time. But you know, it's very easy for a patient to have a negative experience. And I think that if you catch them and you can fix it before they leave, that's just gonna, you know, that's, you're not gonna lose a patient and you're not gonna get a bad review and you're gonna learn something from it. Because a lot of times it is something that really happened and we're just not aware of it. Or maybe it's the patient's perception, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
So another question I have for you, another hurdle that we have in dental office is broken appointments.
Oh, yes. That'll be the never-ending issue.
We'll talk about it forever. That is true. So what are your thoughts on that? Why do you think people break appointments?
Oh, for many reasons. I feel like sometimes it is just forgetting about the appointment. You know, you have people, you can remind them 100 times and for some reason they just don't know what day it is or what time it is or where they are.
That would be me.
And they forget. So, you know, having multiple reminders for some people is great. And then you have people that get nervous and they just decide not to come and then they avoid you. So they just don't show up. And then there's also, you know, financial. Maybe they can't afford that dental appointment and they didn't want to say anything about it when they scheduled the appointment while they're sitting there with you in the consultation room and then they don't show up. And then, you know, there's exceptions, people that get sick the same day that actually do call you. Or there's patients that just don't show up. they don't understand the importance of the appointment and what it would be if they didn't show up, you know, or they don't understand the treatment.
They don't understand the treatment. I feel like sometimes, you know, especially in those situations where we talk at patients and we tell them what they need, and they don't even know that they have a problem. And I think in those situations, sometimes, you know, they'll get home, they'll schedule an appointment because, you know, who would say no to you, right? So they'll schedule an appointment and then they go home and the wife says, why do you need a crown? Does anything hurt? And the husband be like, well, no, but the dentist said, you don't need a crown if it doesn't hurt, right? And so he has the appointment, but then he's not going to cancel it right away. And then maybe he'll forget about it, or maybe he'll cancel last minute when he looks at his calendar. So there's a lot of that, I'm sure. So how do we're never going to prevent 100% of appointments. I mean, that's going to happen. And then people will get sick last minute and cars will break down and you know, and especially now that, you know, we used to have patients coming in and they'll have like 2 toddlers in tow and, you know, 5 more in diapers but now we're not doing that because we're, you know, it's curbside check-in and no kids, no families allowed. So, you know, that's going to happen, but how do we minimize broken appointments?
I think it first starts in the office, so in the back, when they're actually having the exam done and they're back there with the doctor, the assistant, just making sure that they understand the importance of the treatment, obviously, and a time frame. I think some people think like, oh, I can get those fillings done in at my next 6 month cleaning. So I think all of those things need to be addressed in the back first. And then obviously the next step would be the financial part, you know, making sure that they understand what their copay is, giving them options and kind of having some sort of concrete you know, financial plan, whether they're going to pay the day of or prepay or break it into payments, whatever it may be, because if they don't know how much something is and, you know, they walk out of there unsure if they can afford it, then they're probably not going to show up or schedule the appointment. But so those are two very important things. And then of course, reminders and confirmations. So I know I always go over best practices when I talk to offices. I know we have the option in there. I always pull it up too if I'm logged into their computer, the best practices, and I show them there's this whole sheet here you can go over. It explains what it is and why and the reason behind it. But reminders are set up for best practices as far as like the frequency for the emails, the text message reminders, and they're set that way for a reason. Because patients, you know, it gives you enough time, some of those reminders that they get, if they can't make it, it gives you enough time to fill the schedule if they need to reschedule, and it gives the patient enough time to find an appointment. Because I know in your office, I mean, hygiene appointments were hard to come by. So a lot of the patients knew if they're going to reschedule, it might be a while, or they had to be put on, you know, an ASAP list or something. So I think those best practices, and you need to have something in place with your reminders too. I don't think a phone call, just a phone call 3 days before, is going to cut it. You definitely need like a save the date, you need an email reminder, text message reminder that does ask for confirmation, and then obviously the same day appointment reminders. I think those are super important. I had a lot of patients that would come in and they would tell me, I'm so glad you guys sent me that text message today. I almost forgot about this appointment, even though they confirmed it 3 days ago on the phone with me. So obviously I think that's super important, is having something in place, best practices. I mean, Yappy is huge. Of course, I'm going to say that's the best thing to use. That's what I used for so long. And then also not only that, but I know, I don't know if the office is still doing it, but when I was there, you know, if a patient didn't confirm their appointment, and I remember you talking to us about this, if they haven't confirmed after all the emails and all the text messages, and then you called them a day before and left a message, and they still haven't returned their phone calls, they're not coming. They're not coming. But, you know, especially if they had a broken appointment history, that's important to look at. If they have a balance, you can kind of figure out these things ahead of time. If you're looking at the schedule and you see red flag, they have a balance from like 6 months ago, they have a bunch of broken appointments. I'm not sure if we went over their treatment plan with them or not, because there's nothing in here as far as a prepayment or any sort of arrangements made. They're not coming, so you might as well fill that spot in the schedule. And you know, I'm gonna tell you, 9 times out of 10 they didn't show up. So we had already booked the appointment. Obviously, we would let the patient know. We would leave them a message that if we don't hear back from you, then, you know, we can't keep this appointment for you. So I think just having a system in place and following all of those things step by step is how you can prevent broken appointments. And I learned all of this from you and all of the, you know, seminars and everything else that you invested for us to go to. So thank you for that. But it worked. It worked. That and Yappy, 100%.
Thank you. This is amazing. I love what you said. I love, so when you said something that reminded me of our friend Sandy Perdue. Yeah. She used to always, I'm sure she still does, say, broken appointments start in the back.
Yes,
and you said this right off the bat. Well, as soon as I asked you that question, you said it starts in the operatory. And that is so true, because if a patient doesn't understand the urgency, if the patient doesn't understand the importance of the procedure, if the patient doesn't quite trust that the treatment plan is really needed, If the patient doesn't have awareness of the problem, and this is where sometimes we offer the solution before the patient has awareness of the problem. And so that appointment is not going to have the same value for the patient, and most likely they'll break it, especially once they leave, once they talk to others, you know, longer time goes by, they forget what was said. And then we used to also do another thing in my practice. I don't know why I'm saying used to. I'm thinking like when you were here, we still do it. We haven't changed anything. We do the talk over where we bring the patient to the front. And of course, we put everything in the digital routing slip. We would put, you know, what needs to be done, which is kind of like a quick list of things that we want to have done next visit, or maybe what we did today. To make sure that the front office who, and I make that comparison jokingly, who's like an octopus because you need a giant head and eight arms to juggle everything that happens in the front office, right?
You do, yes, absolutely.
So, you know, we want that short list, but then we also want to do this perfect handoff, this talk over where we tell the scheduling coordinator or patient care coordinator what we want, and we talk in front of the patient. I know a lot of times when an assistant brings the patient to the front, they just want to, they'll put the patient on the consult and then they'll talk privately, and we don't want to do that. We want to do, that's what YAPI is for, right? But we want to talk in front of the patient because that reiterates everything that we discussed. And it's also, there's another important reason to do the talk over, and that's for you to have the sort of the ammunition, right?
Exactly, yeah. I think they say three times is when someone remembers something. So you talk about, the doctor talks about it with them, and then we have the transfer talk over in the consult room, and then whoever's presenting the treatment plan is talking about it with them. So, I mean, there's three opportunities for them to understand and learn about their treatment in three different ways, essentially. So
that's right, because each one of us would present it differently. But I also know, and I worked in a front office before going to dental school, so I presented treatment plans, and I know there were situations where the patient would sit in front of me and have zero awareness, or at least claim to have zero awareness of, the doctor never said I needed deep cleaning. That didn't happen. And the doctor would be like, I literally spent 40 minutes explaining.
I remember that happening a lot. And then actually, you know, Dr. Lee, I had it happen a few times, and he was so nice. He would actually come into the consultation room and then explain everything again to the patient. Yep. They do that. They definitely do that.
I think there's a name for it, patient amnesia, right? And actually, there is some science behind it. They say that the way our memory works is when we're in a stressful situation, we don't retain as much information because our brain is focused on processing that stressful situation, which is one of the reasons why a lot of times when the crime happens and you ask eyewitnesses what happened, or like a car accident, right? We're not aware, like the people are going to be giving different accounts of what happened, and it's not because they're lying. I mean, that's just how their brain remembered it because the situation was stressful. And I think that's what happens in a dental office. And I heard somewhere that that by the time the patient actually leaves the operatory and goes to sit in the consult room, they only retain about 80% of what happened in the conversation. And a week later, it's going to be 50%. And then we don't understand why they cancel appointments. So I agree. This is, you know, the broken appointments start in the back. We need to make sure that we are asking the right questions, that we're finding out why patient is there, what they want, what their awareness of the problem is. We need to explain the problem. I remember when I'm chair side with a patient, I always remember to sort of ask them like, oh, does this tooth hurt? And the patient a lot of times would say, no, it doesn't hurt. And then I say, okay, good, because that means that the fracture is not all the way to the nerve, or like the tooth is not. So we're like, we got here on time, because I don't want that objection coming up later. But now the patient is like, why? Should it hurt? What's going on with that tooth, right? So it's just having a different type of conversation. And then, of course, we don't want to have anyone on the schedule who... do you remember what I used to do with a sticky note? When I would look at the schedule and I would note patients and put names of patients on a sticky note that I thought wouldn't show up?
I do remember that.
How accurate was that?
It always was. It was always accurate. I remember we would get that sticky note and we're like, oh, let's try and call that patient right now. Confirm their appointment. But no, it was always right on. Those were always the patients, you know, that wound up not showing up for their appointments.
And you named it. Patients with balances that are unpaid for a while. Patients that... have a history of broken appointments, patients who are extremely nervous, generally have financial issues. Some patients, and sometimes age too. We did analytics at YAPI to analyze broken appointments, and we found that the least reliable group is males between 17 and 25.
Yeah, definitely. I agree with that one. Firsthand, saw it.
So, what about patients not wanting to come back for, is what we used to do, we still do. I don't know why I keep saying used to do, but what we do when there is a last minute appointment cancellation is we're trying to fill that appointment, right? Yeah. Can you talk a little bit about the process and what some of the challenges were and how you overcame those challenges?
Yeah. So as far as filling the schedule, like when they would drop off last minute, being at the office, you definitely don't want holes on the schedule because then that gives doctors more time, with no patients to see. It's super important to stay productive. So with the schedule, luckily I had Yappy. That was definitely a resource. As far as filling the schedule, the first thing we would do is patients or other patients in the office that need treatment. So whether it be like hygiene patients, maybe patients that were in for a limited and passed due for a cleaning and we had a hygiene opening, we were able to see those things on Yappy because all of the alerts that show up. So if a patient's past due, there's, that little circular arrow that shows up that they're past due. So I could just look at Yappy or any of us could look at Yappy and see, oh, that patient opt two. They're due for a cleaning. We have an opening. Somebody go, have the assistant see if they want to stay for their cleaning, or we can fill the schedule. Let's have the doctor go do the exam. So that's one way. That's easy way to fill the holes in the schedule.
I love it. How everyone gets so excited when they see that little. It's like a little recycle sign, and yeah. They have a cancel. That's like the easiest way to fill a cancellation.
Yeah, exactly. If it wasn't like a no show right at that time, maybe. A patient, we had some time to fill the schedule. The recall past due list in Yappy, there's a recall past due report. I always tell offices I talk to, I'm like, I use this thing every day. We all did. Like, let me show you. Let me tell you all about it. It's going to be the best thing ever. And, all of them are usually, oh my goodness, we didn't know that this was here, or we didn't, this is great. This is going to help us out so much because you're able to see all the information right in front of you. So you can text a patient directly from that list. You can email them. You can see notes if other team members have been in communication with them. So that's another way is calling patients or having your patients on an ASAP list. So that's something I'm sure you guys still do. I don't want to say that we used to do. So when I was in the office, you have an ASAP list that you use. So there's patients, that want to get in sooner, maybe that they're in pain and we have a list of those patients. So we're able to see their text message them or call them to fill that schedule. It's not easy, you kind of drop everything that you're doing and focus on filling that hole in the schedule. So, as far as overcoming those challenges or any challenges, I would say it was difficult, but we had the resources and tools to help us out.
Did you have, and I'm sure you did, but did you have patients that, you know, would say things like, oh, you know, I need to check my calendar. I need to check in with my wife. I need to, you know, I'm not ready. You know, my cat needs the cleaning first. Or
yes, that, lots of those things. And those, I mean, it was our job to just, sometimes I felt like I was finding the solution to their problems. Like, you know, I don't know, I don't have a babysitter. So the next option was, oh, you can bring them with you to the appointment. We have a great kids area. I'll keep an eye on them for you. You know, we're all up here at the front. They could watch a movie or play with the Wii. Or we can even bring them to the back because we have TVs back there. We can put a movie on. So that was another option. As far as overcoming that challenge when they would say that. And I had a lot of patients that would say, oh, I didn't know I could bring them with me. Okay, yeah, you know what, I'll take it. Let me see if I can be there in 10 minutes. So that was really nice, you know, as far as having that option in the office available. I know right now it might be difficult as far as, mm-hmm. you know, things changing. Or literally some patients would tell me, I can't get time off work. I can't leave early. Well, we can give you a note. I felt like I was always problem solving for them over the phone, or if they needed a ride. I think one time, I don't think the patient had ever heard of Uber. And like, that was their excuse. And, you know, when you give them solutions, you find out that that's what they are. They're just excuses. Maybe there's another reason. Maybe they're nervous or they can't afford it or something. But actually this patient did. I told them about Uber and they took an Uber over, I think it was on a Friday, because they had been waiting to get in to see Dr. Bina for a while. And they took an Uber. So nice. I told them how to download the app, and I remember they Ubered over. It was the craziest thing. But so those are some ways. I know that may seem a little going above and beyond, but sometimes, you know, it works. So why
and
not?
People, and people appreciate it. You know, I was listening to you right now, and it reminded me of Zappos. And Zappos is known for their customer service. There are even stories of customers calling and asking, like, you know, how to order a pizza or something like that. And the operator would help them because that's what it takes. They go above and beyond for every single customer. And it sounds like that's what you were doing. And this is really the spirit that we try to keep in our office and hopefully at Yappy as well.
Yeah. I don't know how many times, like, I'm sure you still see it, like, multiple front office passing around a baby because, you know, mom needed to get some treatment done. But yeah, no, I really feel, working in the office, obviously everyone there went above and beyond, but here at Yappy too, I really feel like, the team here is great and we are going above and beyond right now. Definitely. I know things are changing in offices and a lot of offices need help and a lot of offices are just starting to go paperless. So we have everyone on deck helping, doing things that they normally don't do or learning how to do new things. So yes, both teams definitely go above and beyond. And I love that about both companies.
Yeah, me too. I was very stressed out by the fact that we have such a great demand that we are struggling to accommodate. And I know everyone is working so hard, working overtime. And I just remember talking to Ken multiple times. I was so frustrated. I'm like, why can't we get to everyone? And he's like, okay, let me put things in perspective for you. Imagine 30% of your patients show up at the office tomorrow unannounced needing dentistry. That's what it feels like right now on the phone.
Yep, absolutely. And you know, you do want to help everyone. And that's just in our nature. That's why you do what you do. I mean, you help people in the dentistry, you know, patients, but you also help people that are running dental offices. I think that's just in your nature. Like, I've learned so much from you, and I know lots of others are learning a lot from you as well with this podcast and other things that you're doing. But yeah, it's definitely a crazy time, but it's nice to see Yappy team come together. Everyone is helping everyone and taking calls and helping customers with requests. So, you know, I think our customers understand, or I like to think that they do. And when I talk to them, they're definitely pretty understanding, especially if we're willing to give them a minute or two to help them with whatever they need.
Absolutely. I felt I felt the same from a lot of customers, and I've been getting a lot of compliments on our team, and it makes me really proud. For offices that you mentioned paperless, we're almost at the end, unfortunately, but you brought up something important, because right now everyone is trying to go with, you know, virtual check-in. Is that what we call it? Or curbside check-in. There you go. Check-in and contactless forms. Any advice you can give to offices that are going this route?
So, I mean, obviously Yappy is going to be a huge tool. I've talked to a lot of offices lately. They love our paperless, and we have the COVID screening. So what I've done for a lot of offices is they're putting it like in their appointment reminders. So patients are able to actually fill out their forms in their car, from their phone. So some offices aren't using the iPads except for when they need to in the office. So their patients, are able to let them know when they arrive. They can text message them the link, so patient can fill out their forms in their car, fill out the COVID screening, and then it submits directly over to the front office or the doctor, right there at their computer on Yappy. So they're able to view it, they're able to transfer the information to their practice management software. So I think, as far as advice, really offices need to have some system in place. And I'm gonna say Yappy, of course. But it's at this point in time with the times right now, I think it's a necessity to have that. I mean, your patients are going to appreciate it. It's convenient. Your team is really going to appreciate it. I've had so many new offices that tell me, this is amazing. I don't have to have patients do the COVID screening over the phone. I don't have to call them the day before anymore. They're doing it on their phones, in their car. It's just made things so much easier, because our teams are taking on a lot more, like as far as new procedures, new policies to follow. They're learning new things. And that's just another load of work off their shoulders that Yappy is doing for them. So that's my advice. Definitely. I mean, if it's not Yappy, you need to have something in place as far as contact lists and something that's going to make things easier for your team. Because I think right now it's kind of a difficult time. They're juggling patients. And I talked to someone today who told me, I want to talk to you on the phone right now because I really need your help, but my assistant just got up in their protective equipment and are waiting for me. Like, I have to go. Like, they're already all in it. They can't take it off. I've got to go. I'm like, oh, that's a new thing. Go. I'll talk to you later. So yeah, that's my advice. I know it's definitely a difficult time, but Yappy is going to help out with so much as far as paperless and patient communication, because it's super important right now to also communicate with your patients without having to put the work into it. I know personally, I don't know what's going on. Things are changing every day in the county I live in. So I don't know when gyms are going to be open. I don't know when my doctor's offices are going to be open. So it's nice when I get a text message or email from them, kind of with an update, you know, and I know mm-hmm. a lot of offices are doing that are using Yappy, sending monthly updates, weekly updates. This is what your appointments are going to be like now. This is what we're doing to get ready. So I think those are definitely important things to start implementing into practices.
Absolutely. That's great advice. And you just said that the gyms are closed, and I thought that's going to be tough for you because you're an instructor, right? Are you still doing that in Seattle?
I'm not. I did get offered. I was working at a gym and they found out I was certified in cycle and they offered me, but it didn't work out as far as the schedule and what they wanted me to do. But I still plan on, so cycle instructing, and then I've done yoga retreats, so in Costa Rica, and I was supposed to do one in Bali, but that one got rescheduled. I'm doing okay though. I actually, right before the stay-at-home order happened, my husband and I were talking about building a gym and in the garage. And also I've been going back and forth about the Peloton bike. And I wound up ordering a Peloton right before all of this happened. Oh, wow. So I got lucky. They delivered my bike like in 3 days, and that's been amazing. Right after that, I heard deliveries were taking like a month to 2 months to get to some people. But we have a beautiful gym in the garage. And when I say it's not a garage gym, it looks like a professional gym. My husband is very particular about when he does something, he does it all the way. So it's very, very nice. So we're surviving. We're still getting to work out.
Well, good, good. See, me, I could live without a gym for the rest of my life. But you, I know for you it's important. So I had a treadmill and, it, you know, because I usually hike. I go up Fryman Canyon, but I couldn't do it. It was closed. They just opened it last week. That was my way to get my head back into, you know, the same place.
Yeah, that's definitely important. I think that's so important right now. So I'm happy you have that. But yeah, outdoor walks are great. I think that people need to do more of that right now just to clear their mind. Make time for it every day.
Absolutely. Well, it was so much fun talking to you, and you gave, I'm absolutely blown away with all the information that you shared. You're incredible. You've always been sort of my, you know, my go-to for many, many things at the office, and you still got it.
Oh, thank you. Well, I am going to give credit where it's owed. Thank you for being such an amazing leader. And like I said, you've taught me so much. And I mean, working for you for so long, especially in the office, you really, I feel like you've really shaped who I am as a person and, you know, with my work and everything else. So thank you. I'll give the credit where it's owed.
Thank you. You're very, very sweet. Maybe we'll be able to get you back in on a show a little later. I'll come up with some additional questions for you, because there's definitely a lot to, you know, to pick in your brain.
Yeah, I would love that.
Yes, I would too. Tell Mike I said hi, and you know, stay safe and sane.
Yes, you too. Thank you so much for having me.
Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to Behind the Smiles. Today's episode was brought to you by Yappy, an automated paperless software for dentists and their teams. You can learn more about Yappy by visiting www.yappyapp.com. If you have any suggestions for future guests, or if you have any questions for us, you can reach out to Dr. Gina directly. Send your email to drgina@yappycentral.com. You can also find the email in our show notes. If you enjoyed today's episode, please leave us a review on iTunes or on any of the apps that you're listening from. It's greatly appreciated. And as always, thanks for listening, and stay tuned for the next episode.